Amen.
Thank you for that, Dee. It's so good to be here with y'all. It's so good to open up God's Word with y'all. And I'm just really excited to share what God's been laying on my heart for the last few weeks. This morning, we're going to be in Luke 12, 22 through 34. If you do not have a Bible, we encourage you to grab a pew Bible in front of you, and it's on page 846. But Luke 12, 22, if you would stand with me in the reading of God's Word, if you're able. 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagans will run after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you, God, and we just ask that you would open our hearts, Lord. You would open our eyes, Father. Lord, we pray that this morning, Lord, we can cast all our cares and all our anxieties on you, Father. God, that we would not worry, we would not stress about things, God, but we realize that you are in control and you love us and you care for us. And it says in your word that you will provide for us, Lord. So let us place our trust in you, Father, and not in our own power and not in our own ability. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to start off this message by giving you a little bit of my theology of preaching and Ryan's theology of preaching. Ryan and I, we believe that when we stand up here in the pulpit, that it is a message that God has given us. We preach from the Bible, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And throughout the week, God, yes, it is our efforts that we study and we make sure that we're reading it correctly and saying what the true meaning of the text is. But throughout that whole process, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit, it has his hand on everything. And I truly believe that what we say from the pulpit is something that God wants all of us to hear. It's not just something that's my opinion. It's not just something that is Ryan's opinion. It is something that God prepares for us as a church, for us as a community. Well, I want to tell you, about a month ago, Ryan and I were sitting in the office, and we were creating the preaching and teaching schedule, and he gives me a date. He goes, "I want you to preach on this date. Are you good with that?" And I say, "Sure." So I began to read, and I began to pray, and through my quiet times and through my walk with God, begin to ask him, like, "Lord, lay a passage on my heart." Because obviously Ryan preaches verse by verse through a particular book, but when you're sort of like one and done, like, or you only get to preach like every so often, is, you know, you try to find something that God has truly laid on your heart. Well, about a month ago, the Lord laid this passage on my heart, which was a passage that we're all familiar with when Jesus tells us, "Do not worry." And understand, about a month ago, the Hurricane Michael was not even Tropical Storm Michael. About a month ago, we had no idea what was going to affect this area. About a month ago, we were just looking ahead to Fall Festival. We were looking ahead to maybe Thanksgiving or Christmas. We had no idea what was about to impact this area. And I remember 2 weeks ago, I was actually scheduled to preach. And I remember sitting in my office and like writing a few lines, and then tabbing over to the Weather Channel and following this what had now become a Category 4 storm. And I remember, like, for one of the first times ever, having to actually, like, carry out what I preached before I actually preached it. To see the storm, to see the devastation that was going to happen before us, I had to truly put into the words that Jesus is telling us to do. Is he's telling us to not worry. And I remember, like, looking over and tabbing over, and I would just pace around the office. And I would just get so concerned and so worried. And I would see, you know, all the posts of how bad it was going to be. And I was so concerned, not only for my own safety and my own sake, but for so many of y'all, because I knew that the impact that it could have on so many of y'all. And then in the weeks following, there's just been so much worry and so much anxiety and so much doubt that we've all felt as a community. And it's just like going back and picking this back up, I've never felt just like so invested in a message with y'all and so emotionally wrapped up in a message with y'all, because I truly believe that God really wants us to hear the fact that he will provide for us. And he truly wants to hear the fact that we don't have to be worried and we don't have to be anxious about anything. And so with that said, and this may be a silly question considering the last few weeks, but by show of hands, how many of you have experienced stress or worry within the last week? Quite a lot of y'all. You see, it's no secret that we live in a very stress-filled society. There's stats to back up the fact that as a nation, as a society, we are just stressed out all the time over many different things. We are filled with constant worry over our finances. We're filled with constant worry over our families or over our careers or over our bosses or whatever it is. We're just filled with constant stress and constant worry. And if we're not careful, we can become consumed with those worries. We can become consumed with those anxieties. We can let our worries and let our problems just take over our lives. And we come to a passage like today where Jesus, he very explicitly tells us, he says, do not worry, do not be anxious. And you may come to a passage like that, or you may come to the service and you hear that, and you just think to yourself, how can Jesus tell us not to worry? How can you stand up here after all that we've been through over these last few weeks and tell me not to worry, not to be anxious about our lives? Does Jesus not understand what we're going through right now? Does he not understand the struggles that we're going through? Does he not understand that I'm going to be struggling to make ends meet? Does he not understand the troubles I'm having in my marriage? Does he not understand the troubles that I'm having with my children? Does Jesus just not understand these things? Does he not realize these things? How can you possibly read the passage and tell me not to worry and not to be anxious over these things? You see, I believe that when we look deeper into this passage and we examine the message that Jesus has for us, the main idea that we'll come away with is that worrying is ultimately idolatry. Let me say that again. Worrying is ultimately idolatry. Now, understand, my goal is not to belittle your difficulties. Don't think that I don't understand where you're coming from or I don't understand what you have walked through. I'm not trying to belittle anyone's difficulties or anyone's stresses. No, my goal this morning, however, is for you to examine your worries through the light of Jesus Christ. Examine your worries through the majesty of Jesus Christ, of what we just sang about, of how big our God is and how in control our God is. Because when we see in this passage is that when we view our worries in light of God and who he is, and we view our worries in light of God and the power that he has, then ultimately they will fall short in comparison. They'll seem small in comparison. So this morning we're going to look at two aspects of worrying, and then finally we're going to look at how we respond to our worries. The first aspect that we're going to look at is that worrying exposes our idols. Look at with me again in verses 22 and 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. You see, this section is a continuation of what we just read in Luke 12, 13 through 21. In 13 through 21, we see Jesus, he tells a parable of a rich man who rested on the fact that he had abundance. He rested on the fact that he had riches on this earth. And if you were paying attention between the two passages, there's a phrase that gets repeated both times. And it's no coincidence that this phrase gets repeated. And the phrase that he says, or the idea that Jesus comes across, is that our life is more than just our material possessions. See, all throughout Luke 12, Jesus is showing us the danger of focusing on what we have or do not have. In one case, we have a man that believes because he has abundance, because he has more than he'll ever need, that he'll find satisfaction in that. But then on the flip side, he shows us a group that believes if they just had a little bit more, if they just had a little bit more money or a little bit more food or a little bit more clothing, then they could find satisfaction in that. You see, it's two sides of the same coin. It's people thinking that they can find satisfactions in their material possessions. It's people that think they can find satisfactions in the things of this world. But Jesus, he comes and he says in this passage that our life is more than food and our life is more than clothing. All right, what is he trying to say here? What he's trying to say is that our ultimate satisfaction doesn't come from what can just simply sustain us. It only comes from himself and himself alone. I want you to listen to Jesus' words in John 6, verses 32 and 35. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." You see, our true satisfaction can only come through Jesus Christ. So because of that, that means the majority of our thoughts and the majority of our concern and the majority of the things that consume us should be centered around Jesus. They shouldn't be centered around the food that we can provide. It shouldn't be centered around the clothing that we can provide for our family. It shouldn't be centered around all these other things, because ultimately, the ultimate thing that we find our satisfaction in, the ultimate thing that we're putting our focus on, is in Jesus. It's not on these things of the world. It's not on these things that can worry us and that can stress us. And when we begin to take our focus and place it on what is worrying us, place it on what is stressing us, then we begin to, we're ultimately just focusing on the small details of life and leaving out what should be important to us. I want you to think about like one of your favorite vacation spots, like a place that you just love to go to, that you go to and you're just in awe of it. Maybe it is a place on the beach. Maybe it is a place in the mountains, but I just want you to think about your favorite vacation spot. And for example, we're going to use the Grand Canyon. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. It's definitely something on my bucket list. But imagine if you're taking a trip to the Grand Canyon, just this awe-inspiring, just creation of God. Like you go there and it takes your breath away. And so you load up your family and you take this vacation and you take the pictures and stuff. And then you come back and someone comes up to you and they say, "Hey, how was your trip to the Grand Canyon? Like, show me the pictures of that." And the only pictures you had, the only memories you had was the McDonald's that you stopped at for lunch, right? Or maybe you stop for gas at 7-Eleven and you got a Big Gulp, which, I mean, hey, Big Gulps are really good. Maybe that's a kind of a delicacy here, or you know, it just blows your mind. But you got a Big Gulp from 7-Eleven, and that's the only thing you talk about. And you pulled out your phone, and you're just showing the pictures of the McDonald's playground. Like how silly would that be if you were listening to someone tell the story of their trip to the Grand Canyon, and the only thing they could focus on what was the place that they stopped at for lunch, or the place that they stopped at for gas, like these small details of their trip. You see, Jesus is saying that the food that we eat and the clothes that we wear, they're ultimately just small issues in our life when we put it in comparison to him. And yes, it's important that we feed our family. It's important that we clothe our family. But this passage reveals that those are not the ultimate purpose in our life. Those things are ultimately idols when we focus on those things. And so we need to realize what is the big thing that we need to place our focus on. You see, our worries expose our idols. The things that we worry about, the things that we stress about the most, are often the things that have the most importance in our life. And if we're not careful, we can take those minor and insignificant things and place our focus on them instead of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, what worry is in your life is taking God's place? What are you looking towards for satisfaction in your life? Is it your health, your family? Is it your job, your finances? What area of your life do you look at and you think to yourself, if these things were just made right, if these things were just made right, then life would be good. Then I would have satisfaction in my life. If I just had a little bit more money, if I just had more ways to provide food for our family, if I just if things were just going a little bit better at work, if I was just in better standing with my boss and he wasn't breathing down my neck all the time, then these things would be right. What are those things that we're searching for satisfaction? And we need to recognize in these things in our life that are worrying us and that are stressing us, we need to recognize them for what they really are. And those are idols that are taking our attention away from Christ. We have to remember that when we place our worries and place our issues in light of Jesus and in light of who he is, they're ultimately going to fall short in comparison. So we need to stop our focusing on our worries, stop our focusing on our anxieties and things that stress us out, and we need to place our focus on Jesus. So we see that worrying exposes our idols. Next, we're going to see that worrying is ultimately fruitless. So look at with me again in verses 24 through 28. Jesus says, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you of little faith?" You see, in this next session, Jesus, he's going to provide us two examples of how he is faithful to his creation, how he's faithful in meeting our needs. The first example that he gives us is the example of the raven. And this example is actually a very interesting one if you're familiar with your Old Testament law. And I know we have just so many Old Testament scholars in the building or in this congregation, but if you're familiar with the Old Testament law, if you're familiar with what it says in Leviticus, the raven is considered an unclean bird. And some of you are like, well, the raven is still an unclean bird. Like, you probably wouldn't put a raven on the dinner table for Thanksgiving. But in Old Testament times, it wasn't considered just like bad for you. It wasn't considered to make you sick. The raven was considered unclean, that it would make you spiritually unclean if you consume it. It would make you spiritually unclean if you touch it, if you be around it. And the audience that Jesus is speaking to, when he mentions that the Lord provides for the raven, that's probably one of the first things that comes to their mind is this is an unclean bird. This is a bird that is ceremonially unclean. And so not only is the raven considered unclean, Jesus also goes even further. It says that it doesn't reap, it doesn't sow, it doesn't make preparations in the future. It doesn't have any storerooms or barns. Yet, all the same, the Lord feeds it. The Lord provides for it. Another example he gives us is examples of the flowers of the field. Jesus says that they don't labor, they don't work for themselves, they don't toil, they don't spin. They're only here temporarily. They're only here for a short time. But God still clothes them. And he takes it a step further. He says that not even King Solomon, one of the most wealthiest, wisest kings, not even King Solomon was dressed like one of these flowers. See, the argument that Jesus is making is that if God is faithful in his provision towards an unclean bird and flowers that are here temporarily, how much more faithful will he be towards us? See, God's faithfulness does not depend on your ability or my ability. God's faithfulness, he doesn't look at what we can bring to the table. He doesn't look at what we can do to earn his provisions. God is faithful despite us. God is faithful despite our limitations. He doesn't decide. He goes, I'm going to be faithful to these people because they're more deserving, right? They worked hard. They're just going through some tough times. So I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to provide for them. But these people, they're kind of lazy and they haven't done what they're supposed to do. So I'm going to teach them a lesson. No, God doesn't do that. God is faithful to all of his creation. It's nothing that you or I have done. It's just that God is compassionate and God is faithful towards us. But notice also that not only is God faithful to all of us and we're outside of that control, but notice also in the middle of this passage, when he's describing his faithfulness to all creation, he has a very profound fact about worrying. And it's something that we've probably all seen and we probably all keep in the back of our minds, but it's something that I really want us to think on and really want us to focus on these next few minutes. It says in verse 25, Jesus, he asks a question. He goes, who can add a single hour to his life by worrying? You see, Jesus wants us to recognize that we ultimately don't have any power over our lives apart from him. This statement should humble us. This should humble us and make us recognize that our place in life. We need to recognize that God has the ultimate authority, that God has the ultimate control in our life. We need to recognize that despite our best effort, despite the fact that we can just be so consumed in our thoughts and so consumed in our worries, that these things will ultimately do nothing for us. See, what our trials and what our worries ultimately remind us of is that we're not God in our lives. We're not. We can't take the place of God. No matter how bad we want to, we can't take the place of God in our lives. How many of you a couple weeks ago wish that you could have just gone out to the streets, held out your hands, and just be like, stop, winds, rain, stop? How many of you wish you could do that? Or you wish you could go to the trees or go to the damage and just be like, repair yourself, like, get out of the yard. Like, I know I wish I could have done that, but guess what? We can't do that, can we? We're not in that place to do that. We're not in that place to be God in our lives. And many of our trials and many of our worries and many of our concerns are just simply outside of our control. You see, I had a very sobering reality. A few weeks following the storm, like so many of y'all, we were handing out meals at Blakely First Baptist. And one of the days I was there handing out meals, I was just paying attention to who was coming through the line. And it's really interesting. We sort of associate, like, okay, when we hand out free meals, maybe they're not as well off, or maybe, you know, we have our certain perceptions. But I noticed something really interesting. In the midst of the days after the hurricane, when people are still without water, still without power, just the wide variety of people that are coming through the line, people that would be considered, quote-unquote, like, well off, and people that we wouldn't consider so well off. They were all, like, one and the same, just coming through the line, and they were all in the same boat with no power, no water, no way to cook a warm meal for themselves, and they needed existence. They needed to come and gather warm meals for their family, and it just dawned on me. It just made me realize just how fragile we actually are. Like no matter how well prepared that we think we are, no matter how competent that we think we are, no matter how strong, how in control that we think we are of our life and our situations, we see just in the blink of an eye how out of control we can be. And we have to realize in those moments and in those points that we need to give our control over to God and let him be the God of our lives. Let him be in ultimate control over our lives. You see, when we become consumed with worry, we're ultimately just trying to take God's place in our lives. We believe that we have the solution. We believe that we have the answers. We're like, you know, just let me think on it a little bit more and let me figure out what we're going to do, and I'm going to figure this out on my own. And we have to realize we have to let control of that. We have to let go control and give that over to an all-knowing, all-powerful compassionate God that's in control of our lives, and He is willing and able to provide for us. So our worries make us realize that we are not in control of our lives. And if we consume ourselves with worry, and we consume ourselves with doubt, and we consume ourselves with stress, then Jesus says that ultimately does nothing for us. So we need to hand that control back over to Him and let Him take control of our lives in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our anxieties. So we see that worrying it exposes our idols. We see that worrying is fruitless. It does nothing for us. And now we're going to look at our response to these facts. It's very simple. In the midst of our worries, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our day-to-day lives, we need to set our eyes on Jesus. Look at me with one last time in verses 29 through 34. Jesus says, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that you will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, when it comes to our worries and when it comes to our needs, Jesus, he instructs us. He says, don't focus on these things. He says, don't focus on where your next meal is going to come from. Don't focus on how you're going to pay the bills. Jesus tells us that's what the pagans focus on. That the people that don't know God, that people are outside of God, that they ultimately focus on these things because that's all their life is about. All their life is about is where my next meal is going to come from, or how am I going to pay the bills, or what am I going to do at work. That's all that can consume their lives. But it says that who have been called by God, we should know better. We should have a greater outlook. We should have a greater perspective on life. We should know better of where to focus on these things. And this remind me of something. It remind me of my days of working with children at the YMCA. How many child care workers do we have? Are people that work with children? I know we got like some school teachers here. Okay, a few of y'all. All right, so you may be able to track with this. And if not, like, just think about to the time when you were just like a little child or a little kid. And it's very interesting. If you ever work with little kids, or if you ever been around with little kids, the things that just like consume the world are actually like very, very small. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, please nod your head. Like, you're falling with this. I'm trying to make this illustration work. If you ever work with little kids, you realize like the things that just are so big and massive in their world are just like the tiniest things that you know don't need to be dealt with right now. And I remember like there was one time, my role at the YMCA, like part of it was I got to talk to parents about behavioral issues and discipline issues that were going on. And I remember one afternoon I was in the middle of a conversation with a parent. Those conversations are never fun, but you know, I'm telling them like what their child did or what happened to their child. And in the middle of this conversation, this little child, this camper walks up and he goes, "Mr. Ryan, can you please get out the Jenga box for me?" Like interrupts the conversation to ask for like Jenga box. And it's just like to that child's mind, like the fact that he wanted to play with Jenga box, or the fact that he wanted to play, or they wanted to play dodgeball the next activity, or they had to, you know, eat snack the next, you know, next few minutes. Like those things were like it just blowing their minds. Those things were just like consumed in the world, and they didn't like realize the situation. They didn't realize just like how small and how insignificant those issues were, right? And I want you to think about to like even your own childhood. Like think about if you recall the things that just seem like just such a big deal to you when you were just a little child are now like when you look back on adults, it's like, why do I ever like stress and worry about these things? Right? Like even just a few years ago, I graduated from seminary about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And I remember just thinking like, man, it's going to be so nice when I don't have to write, you know, like term papers and I don't have to study for midterms. Like my life is just going to be a breeze. Like these things are just like the most stressful things in my life. And now like you get into the real world and realize that like those are actually small things in comparison to that. we realize that the real world has its own unique sets of circumstances that we have to worry about. You see, Jesus is reminding us that we used to be consumed with a lot of worry before we came to know Him. But before we came to know Him and saw Him for what He truly was, then the fact that how I'm going to pay my bills, or how I'm going to feed my family, or how I'm going to provide clothes for my family, those were big issues in our life. Those were the things that just consumed our life. But now that we have come to know Him, now that we come to see Him for His beauty, and we come to see Him for His power, and we can realize, and our eyes have been opened to, as David says in Psalm 8, O Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Now that we have seen those things clearly, and we've seen Him clearly for who He really is, then we realize those things that used to consume us, when we view it in light of Jesus, when we view it in light of just how big God is, all of a sudden those things seem really small, and they seem really trivial to us. And they just seem, you just got a question, like, why did we used to worry about those things? Why did we used to be consumed with those things? We see the power of God. We see the majesty of God. And we see that is what is important to focus on. That is what's important to consume our thoughts and consume our minds and consume our actions, and not on what is ultimately the trivial things in life. See, Jesus tells us, instead of focusing on your worries, instead of focusing on your anxieties, He says, instead, seek after God's kingdom, and these things will be added to you. See, Jesus, He's instructing us to make a shift away from looking at how we can fulfill our own needs, and looking at how we can fulfill our own desires. And instead, He's calling us to shift our focus to how we can invest into His kingdom, and how we can invest into the things that are important to Him. It is a call to shift on what is really important in life, and that is God and His kingdom. So let me ask you, what are you doing to seek God's kingdom in your life? What sacrifices are you making to spread God's kingdom to those that you come in contact with? Notice how Jesus, He's even going to go as far to say, to instruct us to sell our possessions to give to the poor. See, He wants us to realize that the things that we find most importantly, He says, you know, you should be willing to get rid of those things when it comes to spreading My kingdom. You should be willing to let go of those things when it comes to spreading My kingdom. When it comes to seeking God and His kingdom, it's going to be costly for us. And the only way that we're able to do that, the only way that we're able to carry out that mission, if Christ is at the center of our lives, and He is ruling our lives, and He is the most important in our lives. See, I find it interesting in the passage about worrying, Luke clues the phrase that most of us are familiar with, but we're familiar with it when it was written in Matthew, and Matthew doesn't include it in this section, but Luke does, and I find it just very interesting and very fascinating. In the midst of worrying, Luke, he gives us the phrase, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, Jesus is telling us that when our treasure is of the things of this world, that we believe can satisfy us, when our treasure is on our food, our clothing, our jobs, whatever that may be, when that is our treasure, then when those things become in jeopardy, we begin to worry, and we begin to stress about those things, and we begin to let those things take control of our lives. But if we put our treasure in God and His kingdom, which tells us will never fade, where it says no thief will come and steal and no moth will destroy it, when we put our treasure in an unfailable kingdom of God, and we see and the beauty and majesty of God, and we strive to live for Him, then we'll have a peace that comes only from God. When our treasure is in Christ and His kingdom, when our treasure is in God and living for Him that will never fade, then we can have a peace in it. Because when life comes and circumstances come and we worry about our businesses, we worry about our farms, we worry about our livelihood over the next few years, then we realize that those things are just minor circumstances. Those things are treasures that are going to fade, that are going to rust. But our treasure, our hope, the thing that we find most important is in a treasure that will never fade, and that is God and His kingdom. And so when we see the beauty and we see the majesty of God and we strive to live for Him, then we're going to see that worrying is ultimately idolatry. because it's going to take our focus and it's going to take our mind off of Jesus and his kingdom. And I just want to remind you, I said at the beginning that I don't want to belittle any difficulties that you are going through. Over these last few weeks, many of you have just suffered great loss, and many of you have suffered great pains that I have no idea what that's like. You know, I've been on Facebook and I see the pictures of the devastation, and I've been on Facebook and I see the stats and the numbers for what is lost and with our farmers and our agriculture industry, and I'll be the first to tell you I have no idea. And I will never have any idea of what that is like. I will never have any idea of what it's like to lose so much in such a short amount of time. And I want you to hear that, because I don't want you to think to the fact, well, Ryan doesn't know what I'm going through, so how dare Ryan say something like this? And I'll be admit, I have no idea what that's like to go through. But I do know this. I do know how big our God is. And I do know that he cares for us. And I do know that he's willing to provide for us. And I believe that when we truly see the power of God at work in our lives and the lives of those around us, we're going to just realize how small those things are in comparison. The past few weeks, like many of y'all, I've been busy just cleaning up so many trees and so much debris just trying to, you know, do the best I can. And the other day I went to Hollis's house, and I think we pulled up and he says, can you please send anyone else, you know, someone that's a little bit more capable? No, he didn't say that. He was very appreciative, but we've been just out in the community, like so many of y'all, just picking up trees, picking up limbs. And one of the things that just amazes me is the access to equipment that we have. Understand, I'm from South Carolina. I'm from a very suburban, urban part of South Carolina. So we don't have a lot of access. We do have some farms around the area, but we don't have a lot of the access to the tractors and to the bulldozers and to the things that were available to a lot of us. And it just amazed me with, you know, a couple chainsaws and you know, a tractor, what's, you know, these huge limbs, these huge branches, we're just able to pull right on out. And some of these, you know, trunks, some of these branches, you know, I would get on there, and I consider myself, you know, decently strong. Like, Ryan's getting a little bit stronger than me. Like we would get on together, we would pull, and we would tug, and we would grunt, and it wouldn't move an inch. And we'd say, well, this is impossible. I guess it's just going to stay there. I guess you're going to have to get used to this tree just being laying down in your yard, because there's no way we're going to move it, right? But then, you know, we hook up some chains, and we hook it up to a tractor, and with ease, the tractor just, like, backs out, carries it off to the woods, and dumps it all. Like it doesn't even break a sweat. And I understand it's machinery, it doesn't do that, but it doesn't even struggle with it. That when we have these huge, big machines, like the seemingly impossible task, this huge task that we think there's no way that I can do this. There's no way that we're going to be able to accomplish this. To that machine, to that tractor, it was nothing to them. You see, I believe like so many worries in our life, they just seem so massive and so big in our life. And when we look at it from our power, and we look at it from our perspective, they're going to be impossible. There's going to be no way that we can deal with this. There's going to be no way that we can move this on our own. But to our God, they're nothing to him. So I want to encourage you to set your eyes on Jesus this morning. Set your eyes on Jesus this week. Focus on living for him and his kingdom, and trust that he's able to provide for us. Our God's big, and he's powerful. And most importantly, he's willing and able to provide for us. So set your eyes on Jesus and his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Let us pray.